Well, it is my pleasure to join with you in the mission tonight, coming from Ballymena in County Antrim. It is my privilege to tell you of the good things the Lord has done for me. I thank Mr. Campbell for the invitation, and it's good to be with you here in Londonderry. I want to read a few verses in John's Gospel, if you have your Bible or New Testament. John chapter 14, please, very well known verses. Just the first six verses of John chapter 14. Let us hear the word of God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious and infallible word. One brief word of prayer, and then I will relay briefly my testimony. Our Father in heaven, we bow down before thee again in that peerless and precious and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank thee for him who loved us and gave himself for us at the place called Calvary. And Father, before this open canopy of heaven, you know I have nothing to boast in. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I am only a sinner, saved by grace. And Father, as I would relay the testimony to these gathered people, I pray that the believers will be edified, backsliders restored, and above all sinners converted to the Lamb of God. May Christ see of the travail of his soul coming to fruition, even this night. We ask it in his adorable name. Amen. As I say, my name is Victor George Kyle. I come from just outside of Ballymena, a place called Brocheen. You maybe have seen it in the news. It wins a lot of awards for flowers and what have you. I didn't plant any of them, by the way, or care for them, but they do very well there with regard to the flowers. That was my birthplace on the 9th of January, 1961. So you don't have to guess anymore. You do your maths, and we're nearly 50 now. But the Lord has been very, very good to me. I come and brought up in a one-parent family. My father left home. My mother and father parted whenever I was about 6 years of age. Just me and my brother. And my mother was left there to bring us up on her own. There wasn't so many handouts in those days, and things were quite difficult. And we had many hard times. But she did a sterling job in bringing us up there in the home, sent us out to the Presbyterian Church, to the Sunday school, and the odd time, and I thank God for this, I would have been sent along to the Brethren Assembly Sunday school. And it would have been there, I suppose, in the Brethren Hall, where I would have heard for the very first time my need to be saved. Unfortunately, in the church I attended, the minister himself probably wouldn't have been saved. And that was a great shock to me when I became a Christian, for I thought everybody who was in the pulpit was on their way to heaven and they were saved. But I had a lot to learn, of course. But I heard the gospel in the Brethren Assembly Sunday School and in many other places through my young life. And I thank God for providentially allowing me to be in those meetings to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I was growing up, although there was nobody played football at a very high level on either side of the family, it seemed as if the Lord had given me this gift to play this game of soccer. It's ironic tonight that we're nearly on the pitch. Not that I could even walk around it now, let alone run around it, but anyhow. I must say, even when I see the goalposts, even yet, there's a draw. It's probably called, as the pastor would know here, the old nature. There's always a draw back to the old nature. The battle never stops. For you, it could be something else. For me, it's football and other things. But as a young boy, I suppose, not to blow my own trumpet, did excel at this game. Picked for many teams in the County Antrim area. And went on to have trials for the schoolboy internationals. I didn't make it now, but at the end of the day, we were there or thereabouts. And this football was to be my passion, I suppose, from about 10 years of age right through to near enough my conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that football, it ruled my life, really, when I look back on it. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, playing at a quite high level and then going on to manage the local team there in Brough Sheehan. That team was run, I must say, to a very high standard. The boys, or not boys, but men, looked up to me as the manager. Many of them were Christians and were praying for the manager that he would be saved. I thank God for that as well. I would have done things during those years as manager that would have been commendable to a Christian. Ran things for charity and would have been kind and supportive, and many of the boys came to me with their problems. And yet, though I could help them in some small way, I had no real answer to their problems, because there only is one answer, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that time, of course, I didn't know him. And I was also involved in the bands around the area, marching the streets here in Ulster and in Scotland. Would have been down here once a year, tramping these streets with a side drum on and thinking I was doing some great thing. And really, at the end of the day, when I look back, I was marching to a lost eternity. Marching with the tramping feet of the multitudes that are lost. But as you will hear shortly, the Lord didn't leave me there, thank God. But the football and the bands took me into those things, as you know. We'll not highlight them too much to give the glory to the devil, but you know where it leads you. Wasn't too long until I was in the bars, and then unfortunately caught up in a quite compelling gambling way, going to the bookies, near enough a compulsive gambler. Finding money all the time, regardless of how tight it was to bet on these horses and teams and all the rest of it. Standing there in Ballymena most of the day, on a Saturday sometimes, in the middle of that smoke, and I hated smoke. But the Bible says, whosoever sinneth is a servant to sin. And boy, was I a servant to sin. I hated drink as well, but I took it to be in the crowd along with the rest, and then suffered for days. I said, I'll never do that again. My money's gone, my head is sore. But yet again, when the weekend would come, whosoever sinneth is a servant to sin. And thank God the Lord would intervene in it one day. I went to work in England as an electrician in the year of our Lord, 1989, there to Brighton in the south coast of England to work in a supermarket to do some electrical installation there. And you may say, what has that got to do with you getting saved? Well, what the Lord was about to do there was separate me from the crowd. Even before that, I had been very disillusioned with the things of the world. The football and the gambling and all had near enough lost its zeal, as it were. And if somebody had said, the Lord is dealing with you, I would probably have laughed at it. I wouldn't even have understood what that meant. But I was searching for something. And the things of this world were no longer what they used to be. But anyhow, off I went to England to work as an electrical engineer. And signed up to a 7-month contract from roughly June to December. And another fellow from Northern Ireland. And I set off. And it is a very true statement, far off fields look green. Yes, we were in good money. I think we were earning somewhere in the region of £600 a week. Still a pretty good wage, but it was a massive wage in 1989. But home is where the heart is, isn't that right? But anyhow, there we were trying to make a bit of money in England. And I would have come home every 6 weeks, but my friend who decided he could stick the whole period without coming home came to December in the early months, or the early weeks of December, and Christmas carols started to play in the shops and so on, and he became terribly homesick around about the first week in December, and took off, car and all, back to Northern Ireland, leaving me in Port Slade, just outside of Brighton. But that was the Lord's doing. He now had me isolated. I told the foreman that I would stay there to finish the course to the 17th of December, and about two weeks or so to be on my own. As I look back, I know that was the Lord. But there I was in England, all the money I needed, all the vices surrounding me, in an awful, evil place. Brighton, they call it London by the sea. There's everything there for a fallen man, and I was a fallen man. But the Lord restrained me, and instead of looking for a bookies or a pub, I began to walk around Port Slade looking for a church. And I'm sure we've all heard here in Londonderry, looking for a needle in a haystack. Well, that's what it was like. I wouldn't have been looking for an evangelical church. I probably wouldn't even have known what that meant. But eventually I did get a church and went along, and although it wasn't an evangelical church, that just means they did not preach the gospel. I still believe the Lord knew what my heart was after. Went to that church for a few times and then came home to Northern Ireland. Still not saved. Still wondering what was wrong, really, to be honest. But no longer interested in the drink or the gambling, and even a waning interest in this football, which was my life. The Bible calls all of this, by the way, conviction of sin. That's what the Bible calls it. It was the work of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the divine Trinity, working in a filthy sinner's life. And that's unbelievable. And one of the main places he worked before I got saved, I was in a bar in Ballymena, and there was a late license. If you don't know what that means, it basically means it goes on to 2 or 3 in the morning. I was in that place, Jack the lad, as it were, come home from England, leather jacket on me at £500 or £600, and all the designer gear. And I could have wished to be anywhere but in that bar, to be honest. And it was like an animated scene. People were moving, and there was even a chap beside me, talked to me all night. And I says, if I ever get out of this place, I will never come back. Now, I wasn't a Christian. But that's how the Holy Spirit of God, coming into a place of such degradation, coming into a filthy heart like mine, to trouble me and to wean me and to draw me with cords of love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He wasn't dealing with others, as far as I know, in the bar. See, he singles you out. He singled me out in England. He singled me out in the pub, and very soon he was going to bring me right out of the world and into Christ, into union with the Son of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. And that went on, 89, 90, 91, 92. Goalkeeper of my team arrived one Sunday and says, you're going to church with me tonight, boy. He was 6'2", so I says, well, we may go. Perhaps if he had been 5'2", but the Lord knows what to do. I went to hear the gospel. I didn't even know what type of a church it was. It ended up it was an Elam church. I'd never been an Elam church in my life. As I say, my record of church attendance would have been Presbyterian church and a few of those visits to the Brethren Assembly. But here I was in an Elam church. The man preached the word of God. The singing was more lively than I had experienced before. But I huddled in there in the back row, as you do, and listened to the man preach, and I'm sure he preached the gospel. I'm not too sure what he preached on, but came down after the meeting anyhow, and he was delighted to see the manager of the football team in the church. And I was feeling uneasy. Maybe you're in here tonight and you don't usually go to church. You're maybe not saved. You're not saved at all. You wonder what it's all about. You feel a little bit uneasy. Well, that's exactly where I was. We've all been there, you know. Every Christian sat somewhere at one time like that. So we know how you feel. So there I was, and he comes down and he says, I believe you're the manager of the football team. I says, I am. And he just chatted about things in general. He didn't buttonhole me in any way, but he just reached a wee card to me and he says, look, if you have any spiritual needs in the future, Victor, don't be a bit afraid to contact me. I says, that's fine, I'll do that. I had no intention. It just shows you how the devil operates. He was fighting right till the end, and I had no real intention when he gave me the card. I says, well, my intention is to get out this door, really, and get in the car and go home. So the devil really does fight very hard. Maybe say to you tonight, as you hear the gospel again, no doubt, just slip out and get this sorted some other time. But you'll hear in a minute or two how the Lord intervened. I left the meeting, headed for my car, which was about 100 yards up the road. Not really thinking of much, really, just of the experience of being to this Elam church. But between the leaving the building and getting into the car, there was this voice came to my soul, not audible, of course. I don't believe in that. But a voice right into this sinful soul. And it said these words, Victor. See, he knows your name. Is that not what he said to Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus. He says, Victor, this is your last chance. Five words. And out of all the preaching and all the conviction of sin, this was the capstone. And that really rocked me. That was before I got to the car. I could hardly get into the car. Get into the car and eventually got her started and drove towards Ballymena. But I knew that it wasn't the pastor's voice. I knew it wasn't anybody else's voice. This was Jehovah, the God of all creation, the God of providence and the God of redemption, speaking to a dirty, filthy sinner just like me and warning me that my opportunities for salvation had ended, lest I should do something about it. It wasn't too long till I had the wee card out with the pastor's name on it and rang him. He says, I could see you on Thursday. I'm a very busy man this week. Well, I'm telling you, I thought Thursday was a terrible while away. When the Lord gets the hold of you, there's nobody ever comes to the Lord kicking and squealing or chewing chewing gum. Oh no, my people shall be willing in the day of my power. And he was drawing me and I was only too willing to come. But anyhow, I did wait till the Thursday. I had to, of course. Not that we need a minister or a pastor to be saved. Mr. Campbell, I'm sure, would soon tell you that. But at the end of the day, he uses men. The Ethiopian eunuch is a fine example of that. He used Philip to lead him to Christ. And he used this man to lead me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Although the battle raged that night when I went down to see the pastor, I talked with him for many hours into the small hours of the 6th of March 1992. But around about 2:30 in the morning, I said to Denver, I don't think I would like to go home the way that I came. I don't understand everything, but just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. That's all I done. Had no idea how to pray. I knew very little scripture verses. But I knew, like Bunyan there, that massive load on Pilgrim's back had just rolled away. Even as I drove home, not knowing many verses, not knowing a lot about salvation, this burden that had been on me, especially in the last 3 years of, from 89 to 92, the burden of my heart rolled away. What a wonderful change had been made in my life since Jesus came in to my heart. You see, it's real. I had to go home and tell others, go to Antrim Hospital where I was working at the time the next day to tell 50 electricians who knew I was a bit of a lad, told them things would be different, that I had got saved. Some laughed, some mocked, some gave me a week, some gave me a month. That's 17 and a half years ago. You know why that is? Because Jesus said, "He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." The book of Jude says we are kept by the power of God through faith. He is able to keep you from falling. That's why I'm here tonight. It's not that I've been a good Christian. It's not that I've done anything on my own. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. What a wonderful Savior he is. So the 6th of March 92, a pass from death unto life, from the power of Satan, that old taskmaster, unto the power of God, out of darkness and into his marvelous light, out of union with Adam and into union with the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. As I read there tonight, Jesus saith unto Thomas, "I am the way." See, I had tried a whole lot of other ways to satisfy this football, this drink, this gambling, womanizing, all that goes with it. Tried them all. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord. But the waters failed. And even when I stooped to drink, they mocked me every time as I wheeled. But then I found that none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus found in me. You say, Mr. Kyle, has that been swinging on the chandeliers then from March 92 until tonight in August 09? No, it hasn't. I'm not too here to tell you my woes, but they have been many. Many heartaches, many tears, many, many difficulties. And of course, many, many high points where I saw my mother coming to faith in Christ, my stepfather coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, my daughter Danielle coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, some workmates coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mountain high and valley low, he will never let you go. Is that right, believer? Mountain high and valley low, he will never let you go. The land wherever I give you is full of mountains and valleys. But through it all, he says, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isn't that lovely? Jehovah Shekinah was mine. It was a wonderful night in March 92. As I say, I'll leave you with these few thoughts in that verse there. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I had tried them all. But whenever I come to him, my soul had found a resting place. And I like this. He's not only the way, but he's the truth. Every other so-called Messiah or Savior is a liar. Neither is there salvation in any other. I'm not here to preach. There's only one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is to know him. Yes, I have failed him. But he has led me on, helped me to understand at least some of this wonderful book that we were singing on. What a book this is. I wonder where yours is tonight. The entrance of thy word giveth light. I said to a lady in the door one night in Ballymena in the outreach, have you got a Bible? And she says, no. I says, I want to quote a verse to you. The entrance of thy word giveth light. And I says, if you haven't got this, then what are you in? And she says, darkness. You see, you're here tonight providentially. And the pastor or somebody's going to preach the word. And that light is going to shine into your soul. And I pray that God will do for you what he did for me 17 and a half years ago. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock and covers me there with his hand. Doesn't every believer think he's wonderful? A wonderful Savior. You can have friends, you can have family, you can have everything. But what should it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and then lose his own soul. May God bless this stammering testimony for his lovely name's sake.